Welcome to Marvel.
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's freaking go. Last night's draft was fun. I think it went by pretty smooth. The year 2022 season is about to kick off. We are just over 10 days away from week one starting. Bills, Rams, it's going to be a shootout. Very, very happy to have you here listening to the podcast. So we're going to have a two-part episode. We're going to be grading your draft. Six teams today, six teams probably on Friday. I'll need a couple-day buffer to get these podcast episodes out. Again, my schedule changed a little bit. Otherwise, this episode would have been out early this morning. But instead, I'm recording at work right now, and that's why the sound quality sounds terrible. It's summer. It's still pretty humid. I got the AC blasting. So unfortunately, you're going to hear some background noise, but I always suggest to listen either in your car or with headphones. It'll always sound better. So with that said, this is year three or four for me doing a fantasy football podcast league. And I don't know. I just felt it was time to bring the podcast over to this league. I love you guys, but don't cross me, but you're great. So here's a fantasy football podcast where I get to talk about your team. In real life, nobody wants to hear you talk about your fantasy football team, right? But at this show, on this show, I will be talking about your team. We're going to have some fun. I finally have an employee, my first ever employee hire here for Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. His name is Jarvis. He's going to be my sound and quality guy. Anything that ever goes wrong with the sound or quality of this podcast, I just get to blame Jarvis. So with that said, I'd like to introduce it to him. He doesn't say anything. Because he's the sound guy, it's in his contract. He's not allowed to talk back to the host. But let's welcome in Jarvis. Jarvis, what do you have for us today? Jarvis, what is this? What is this? I can't just go back in time to my 2008-2009 rap battle championship. I'm not prepared. Yo, listen. The draft went by smooth. It was like a mirage until I saw Roach Google searching how to get a Watson massage. Oh, my bad. Let me keep this PG-13. Some of y'all had drafts that I did mark pristine. But if we're talking Mike Check, Tom drafted two. Mike Williams, Mike Thomas, by week three, injured, chilling at their family barbecue. How do we let MVP Rodgers slip so far? Round 13, instead, Taylor drafted Derek Carr. Hold up, let me stop with the negativity. Wait. I can't. Some of y'all have teams with no versatility. Two quarterbacks, two tight ends, two kickers? Y'all must be hungry. Go grab yourself a Snickers. Man, I can feel it. Some of you are cringing. Go check your vitals. But you can't say nothing to me until you won three titles. According to Josh, we all have the same chance. 8.33 to be exact, to win the big dance. You know deep down you're not right. I got Aaron Donald waiting with two helmets in case we need to fight. If you're thinking, phew, he didn't mention me on this diss track, don't worry, there's a part two. But for now, you have a text from Corrado about your number one running back. Oh boy, that was even worse than I anticipated. If you are cringing right now, and thinking, what did I just listen to?
Imagine being the one who thought it was a good idea, recorded it, and had to edit it. It was terrible, but I had fun with it. Originally, it started with I was going to start dissing just NFL players. I had something about Alvin Kamara and his, you know, Las Vegas fight thing. And then I just decided to, bash my league mates. But again, all jokes aside, just for fun. Reluctantly, there will be a part two to that. But let's get into the draft grades. All right, our first draft grade, we are going to be looking at Mr. Elliot Shabelli's team. His team name is, of course, Juan Large Lemonade. Please love that team name. Let's take a look at his roster. Quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Running back, Saquon Barkley. Running back, Travis Etienne. Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson. Wide receiver, Gabe Davis. Tight end, Mark Andrews. Flex, Amari Cooper. Flex, Chase Claypool. And first man off the bench would be Mr. Kenneth Walker III. So let's dive into his team here. It was fun drafting with him last night. I think he had a great draft. He has Lamar Jackson, a difference maker at the quarterback position because of rushing. Stacking him with Mark Andrews, a very dangerous stack. We'll talk about some other stacks in the league later on. He has Saquon and Etienne in his running back 1 and 2. PPR studs. We'll see if Barkley can stay healthy. But when he is healthy, he's known to catch passes, and he's a workhorse running back. And, oh, by the way, possibly the future number one fantasy wide receiver of the league, Justin Jefferson. Great pick there. Gabe Davis as his wide receiver 2. I love that. I wouldn't want Gabe Davis as my wide receiver 1. Small sample size last year, but he was unbelievable down the stretch. And we have to see it from him for a full season. And I'm all in on Gabe Davis, but I like that it's his wide receiver 2. Gabe Davis could easily catch 10 to 12 touchdowns for the Buffalo Bills. Again, I mentioned Mark Andrews, Amari Cooper, and Chase Claypool in his flex. Not the best to start his season. There's a lot of competition in Pittsburgh from the wide receiver room with George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. And, oh, by the way, the quarterback situation there. So we'll see. Claypool might be a nice throwback DeSean Jackson type guy, meaning deep balls only. Okay. Shouldn't be talking about deep balls. No, I can't stop thinking about it. Maybe an old school Mike Williams type feel. Again, catching deep balls and seeing if he can get some fantasy value there. Amari Cooper won't have Deshaun Watson until week 13. So we'll see how that goes. And Kenneth Walker on his bench, who's injured right now. So his next man up, since Walker's injured, would be Chris Olave. So see, if some of these guys don't work, Chase Claypool, Amari Cooper, he has Chris Olave there as a rookie. Maybe it takes 4 weeks to get him acclimated to the offense, but maybe he breaks out. I do really like Elliott's roster. It's balanced. It's very, it's top heavy with the quarterback, running backs. Then he's also got the tight end. I'm actually not sure how he was able to draft this team, but a very good draft. I'm giving it a B+. The way the grades work, if I give you an A+, that means I think you're going to win the league. If I give you an F, that means I think you're going to be in last place. Highly unlikely for those two grades, but we'll see as I dive through your team. So I am giving Elliot a B+, aka I project him in the playoffs. Nice draft, Elliot. I also feel the need to mention no wasted roster spots on Elliott's team. He has a premier quarterback. He has a premier tight end and didn't take the backup versions of them. I mean, if those guys go down, he's already going to have a tough rest of the season. He invested high draft capital in those guys. So having a backup quarterback and tight end at that point, it almost doesn't matter. He's going to be playing catch up if those guys get injured. Having a random tight end 16 on your bench is not going to fill the void of Mark Andrews if Mark Andrews goes down. So obviously he feels he can just fix that if it does happen from the waiver wire. So again, nice draft, Elliott. Next up is going to be Jason Kelly's team. He is Yeaters Skeeters. Last year, I believe, started 4-0, and he's looking to have a repeat performance in the beginning of the season. By the way, draft grades do reflect some of your in-season production. So I have played with some of you for multiple years now. I know somewhat the level of participation you have, aka on the waiver wire, and that's where Jason definitely is a little bit lackluster. Last year, I think he had a grand total of 8 acquisitions all season, so it was actually pretty impressive. He started out 4-0, and I remember specifically telling him, I said, don't get used to that 4-0 if you don't plan on making extra moves. And he ended up, you know, fizzling out towards the end of the year, but I gotta hand it to him. He had an epic draft last year and a little bit more of the same this year. Let's talk about his team. Quarterback Josh Allen. That was fun. Gage Cam, you know, gave him the respect for grabbing his boy Josh Allen. Running back Derrick Henry. Running back Leonard Fournette. Wide receiver 1, Jerry Jeudy. Wide receiver Hollywood Brown. Tight end Darren Waller. Flex, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Other flex, Tyler Lockett. And first off the bench is going to be James Cook. So let's talk about this build. He went very top-heavy here with Josh Allen leading the way, Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette. That's a beautiful 1-2-3 punch right there. His wide receivers is where he's going to be weak all year long, most likely. Now, I say that, and again, this is where I'm no expert. A lot of people think Cortland Sutton is going to be that guy that takes the next step. We all said that. A lot of people said that about Robert Woods last year. And who took the big step last year for the Rams when they got their new quarterback? It was Cooper Kupp. So maybe everyone drafting Cortland Sutton is wrong. Maybe Jerry Jeudy will be the new, you know, Cooper Kupp-ish type player now that he has Russell Wilson. So we'll see the verdict's out on Jerry Jeudy, but I wouldn't want him as my wide receiver 1. Marquise Hollywood Brown, I do like him. I do think he's a good wide receiver 1 for the first half of the season with Hopkins out of the picture. Darren Waller, premier tight end. Again, this reminds me of Elliott's build a little bit here. Premier at almost every position. With Josh Allen as a top quarterback and Darren Waller as one of those top-tier tight ends. He's injured right now. Quote-unquote questionable for week 1, but there's a chance that it's contract-related and they are trying to work on that before the season starts. So he could get a very good surprise, and maybe he's fully healthy and ready to go, but we'll see. Tyler Lockett in his flex, nothing wrong with that because he's going to be a home run hitter either way. He doesn't have Russell Wilson throwing the ball anymore. That won't stop him from catching a touchdown here or there. And then Clyde in a flex position, just adding to that running back depth. I love it. Now, his bench, not bad. We got a bunch of rookies on there, James Cook, Treylon Burks, and George Pickens. So he's got depth at running back and wide receiver, young talent that most likely will beat their ADP. So once again, Jason, a beautiful draft. I want you to keep this up. Manage it all year, and I think you could be in title contention. I love that you didn't draft a backup tight end, didn't draft a backup quarterback, because you have premier players at those positions. So no wasted roster spots for you. Now, I don't mind back drafting backups if your starters are iffy. You know, if you have a Derek Carr, you're not sure how he's going to perform, yeah, maybe you want to draft a backup. But I like what Jason did here. I think he could be in contention. I'm projecting him to go start again 3-0, maybe 3-1 on the year, and let's see what happens with Jason's team when bye weeks hit and or injuries. Last year, didn't manage his team well down the stretch. Let's see if he can dedicate a little bit more time to it this year and make a title run. Overall, nice team. I'm going B- only because your acquisitions are low. The draft grade itself implies that you had a great night drafting, but I need you to keep going with those acquisitions, hit the free agency, hit some trades, go get that title. Our next team we're talking about is Mr. Joe Chick, his team name, the Book of Samuel. So it was funny, we're all in the draft room, four or five of us, and the first reach of the draft at pick seven was Deebo Samuel. Now, we know Chick is a 49ers fan. It's not that far of a reach, and we haven't played with Joe Chick, at least I haven't, in a fantasy league. So I thought maybe he was going to start reaching on almost every player. There are fantasy players that just either grab the guys they want or grab the guys they know. I thought maybe he was building an all 49ers team and the whole draft he was going to be reaching on players, but that wasn't the case. He only reached on Deebo, and it was only by a couple picks, and then he settled right back in to ADP. So let's take a look at the roster. Quarterback, Joe Burrow. Running back, Javonte Williams. Running back, Miles Sanders. Wide receiver, Deebo Samuel. Wide receiver, A.J. Brown. Tight end, George Kittle. Flex, Metcalf. Flex, Adam Thielen. First off the bench, well, Brian Robinson. We're going to slide him down a bit. The real first man off the bench is going to be Robert Woods. So let's take a look at his build here. I love what he did. He reached on his guy, 49ers fan. Deebo is a stud. He was the wide receiver 2 overall last year. So no issue reaching on him. And he really came back to earth on the ADP, grabbing Javonte Williams and then A.J. Brown right after. So those are 3 studs. Love the start of the draft. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. He has Miles Sanders as his running back 2. This team starts to get very scary, volatile. Miles Sanders is always banged up. We don't know his full role yet, so that's one issue. Deebo Samuel is known to get banged up. A.J. Brown missed a big chunk of the year last year. He's 100% healthy this year. He's known to get banged up. He has George Kittle, a premier tight end. He's known to get banged up. Now, DK Metcalf, he plays full seasons most of the time, has Geno Smith throwing him the ball. One thing I didn't like was having Miles Sanders and A.J. Brown. They're both on the same team, so you are siphoning off possible touchdowns from each other, which caps your upside. It could still work, obviously, except the fact that you also have Deebo Samuel and George Kittle capping your upside, another duo on the same team. We'll see how it works out. Joe did go 2 quarterbacks here. So he has Joe Burrow, who is supposed to be a premier quarterback. Now, he didn't pay a ton on draft day for Joe Burrow, so I don't have a problem with him going to get Kirk Cousins at the end of his draft, last pick, and then he can play matchups. No problem there. If he had spent a 5th-round pick on Joe Burrow, that's where I would have a problem with it. So not going to dock you there. Now, the volatility continues here. Drafted Brian Robinson as his first bench player. Brian Robinson was just shot multiple times. He's not going to be playing anytime soon. I do think he is likely to play this year. All signs point to him being just fine. But that's not a player you can use right now. Robert Woods, great bench receiver, no problem there. Khalil Herbert, not a starter, could see increased workload. We're not sure, so I don't have a problem with that. That's someone else's handcuff. Whoever has David Montgomery will not have the backup in case Montgomery gets hurt, so I like taking other people's backups. Now, George Kittle as his tight end. He also drafted Pat Freiermuth, so not a fan of taking premier tight ends and then drafting backups. If George Kittle goes down, I'm not really sure Freiermuth can fill that void that you couldn't have just gotten on the waiver wire if and when Kittle does go down. And then Jeff Wilson, again, another handcuff, completely unplayable at this point, unless Elijah Mitchell does get hurt, which he's known to do. So overall, I do think the depth is a problem, especially at running back. You only have 2 starting running backs on your team, and Miles Sanders is already banged up. So it'd be real interesting if Miles Sanders isn't ready for week 1, who he's going to be starting in his running back 2 position. Again, I've not played in a league with Joe Chick, so we'll see how he manages his roster throughout the year. If he's a guy that trades, if he's a guy that will spend up on the waiver wire to maybe fill that void with the fab budget, we'll take a look. We'll keep an eye on him. I'm giving this draft a C plus. I do think his depth was hurt a little bit by drafting two tight ends, two quarterbacks. But Joe Chick, prove me wrong. Good luck, buddy. Our next team is going to be Mr. Juan Torres. His team name is Torres Falcons. I should add, I do not believe that Mr. Joe Chick will be in the playoffs next year. Again, I'm just adding an extra thing besides the grade. The first two teams, Elliot and Jason, I believe will be playoff contenders. Elliot for sure. I think Jason is going to be on the bubble, and I think Joe Chick will be on the outside looking in at the end of the year. Just what I'm forecasting. Next up, Torres Falcons, Mr. Juan Torres. If we want to talk about volatility, players getting injured, this is the team for you right here. Let's start off with his team. Tom Brady, no problem there. Running back, Najee Harris. Running back, Cam Akers. Wide receiver, Davante Adams. Wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. Tight end, Irv Smith. Flex, Elijah Mitchell. Flex, Juju Smith-Schuster. And first off the bench, again, I'm going to have to go deep on the bench here. First off the bench would be James Robinson, who's injured. Second off the bench would be DeAndre Hopkins, who is suspended. So his first player off the bench would most likely be Raheem Mostert. No issue there. Wouldn't be my favorite first guy off the bench, but let's take a look at the build. So he went with Najee Harris, first round, snaked around and got Davante Adams. No issue, no problem there. Drafting that far in the back of the first round, you're not sure who's going to drop to you. Najee Harris, you know, led the league, I believe, in volume last year. Now, Cam Akers, I think it was a reach. Cam Akers is practicing, but I just don't have faith in him that he's 100%. He looked pretty awful at the end of the year last year. Now, he did come back from a major injury, probably too soon, and maybe that's why, but he hasn't looked good in training camp, preseason. I don't even know if he played any preseason snaps, and there's question marks about him splitting the load with Henderson there. So we'll see. I think it was a bit of a reach where you took him, and the injuries concern me. Terry McLaurin as a wide receiver too. I do love that. Right next to Davante Adams. Irv Smith, one of the reaches of the draft. There were other players available to you. I do think Irv Smith, who will probably be fourth, maybe fifth on his own team in targets, it's going to be real hard to get fantasy production, at least consistent production from him. It's probably going to be touchdown or bust for Mr. Irv Smith. And by the way, he has a messed up hand. Still talking about injuries. Elijah Mitchell, always banged up. Juju Smith-Schuster, always banged up. And again, your bench, James Robinson, currently injured. DeAndre Hopkins, suspended. It's very interesting to see what Juan does. I'm not saying if. I'm saying when these guys go down with injury, because all of them, most of them, are going to go down with injury. What he does. We'll take a look. I am going to give this... It sucks because if everyone stayed healthy, it's not a bad team. I just think there's too many injury-prone players, and I hate using that term. I'm going with a C-. I think Juan's going to be on the outside looking in and possibly in the Lemonade Bowl once again. Touchdown! All right, our next team is going to be Alicia's team. Her team name is, of course, Unleash the Beast. So, she went with quarterback Patrick Mahomes, running back Jonathan Taylor, running back Josh Jacobs, wide receiver 1, Keenan Allen, wide receiver 2, Devontae Smith, tight end Kelsey, flex Antonio Gibson, flex Zach Ertz, First player off the bench is Jacoby Myers. Let's talk about this build. Very, 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 very... good start to the draft, I think. I'm nervous to play this team when we talk about guys like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's stack. Jonathan Taylor, Keenan Allen. Those are four players I am absolutely scared to play against. Then when we look at the back end of her team, though, she went two tight ends. She reached on Zach Ertz when she already had Kelce. I think that really hurt her depth. She could have got an extra running back or wide receiver at that spot. Looking at her team, she really only has three running backs. I mean, they're decent ones. Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson. If anything were to happen, if Brian Robinson is actually okay to play football, I think Antonio Gibson takes a back seat. He already was about to before the incident happened with Brian Robinson. So she's got faith in those three running backs because there's really no one else on her team that can fill those voids. Again, her starting roster looks pretty good. Yeah, I mean, ESPN has her set for 119 points week one. I don't know how that's even possible with Zach Ertz as your flex. We'll see if she starts two tight ends. The odd thing to me, she has two premier kickers, not just two kickers. She's got two premier ones in Justin Tucker and Carlson. I'm very curious on what happened there, if that was an accident. But either she's going to be hanging on to two kickers all year or there was going to be a really good kicker dropped very shortly. So we'll see. I think it's probably the worst bench in the league. It's a 17-week season with an extra flex. So having bench players, I think, is more important than it's ever been with the no defense and starting an extra player. So as injuries happen, as bye weeks come, this is another one of those teams that, just like Jason, I think you're going to see this team start off hot, possibly 4-0, possibly 4-1, and then it's going to happen. It's going to hit the fan, you know what, and we're going to see how she handles it this year. Again, two tight ends. Someone's going to be in the market to probably trade her for a tight end. We'll see what she does as far as listening for offers, but I just don't see this team performing well come bye weeks, but it's going to start hot. And if she, you know, pays attention to the waiver wire, possibly more aggressive than she needs to be, she can fill some voids. But this is not a deep roster. It's just all about the starters. You know, if Josh Jacobs remains the starter for the Raiders, I think this is going to be a playoff team. Possibly. Again, she can make the playoffs based on her start of her season. If she starts 4-0, 4-1, maybe 5-1, and then wins every other from that point on, I mean, she could be a playoff team. It's tough to give this draft anything close to what I gave Elliott's. His is just more balanced. I'll give it a C+. I'm going to give it a B-. It's a good core team. I just don't know if she's going to be aggressive enough on the waiver wire or with trades. We shall see. But she's always a good player. She always drafts a really good team. And a couple years back, she got screwed over. She had like the most points in the league and kind of started off slow record-wise. But she always does a good job there. So, yeah, I'm going B-. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt that she can kind of fix that bench. So, good luck, Alicia. Let's see what you can do. And last but not least, I'm not going to grade my own team, but we can talk about what I was trying to accomplish at least. Quarterback Jalen Hurts, running back Damian Harris, running back Damian Pierce, the Damian brothers. Wide receiver Stephon Diggs, wide receiver Tyreek Hill, tight end Cole Kmet, flex DJ Moore, flex T. Higgins, and first man off the bench is going to be Melvin Gordon. So clear and obvious, I was going for a zero RB strategy. Now, the problem with doing this, and I mean, I was tilting in the draft room. Gage Elliott and Roach just saw me melting as mid-tier running backs were being taken over and over and over again when I needed them badly. And I want to compliment the league. usually quarterbacks are getting taken at that point. People are reaching on quarterbacks. They, you know, maybe they don't know who to take. Oh, let me just take the guy that I know, a quarterback. And usually running backs will fall to me, at least in the mocks that I did with zero RB. I've never done zero RB ever, and I'm not sure this was the best league to do it in, because if this fails, I have a podcast and I need to talk junk about my own team if I start to suck. So you know I will. Last year I was I started off 0-5. I think I finished in 9th place, so I was able to get away from the lemonade bowl. But listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I think it was a rough draft, if you will. But I wanted to see what would happen. So I think I by far have the best wide receiver core in the league, not even close. I mean, Diggs with his PPR, he's a PPR stud, along with double-digit touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, yes, he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes anymore, but I will take those 60-yard touchdowns that he gets randomly, and I do think they're going to work him in a little bit in the backfield. They did let Sony Michel go, and they got Chase Edmonds and stuff, but I think they're going to utilize him more like a Debo. Gage was mentioning that last night, which I love to hear. So I would love those extra points for Tyreek. DJ Moore, who I think is going to break out again. Last year, he's a 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard receiver. We just need more touchdowns, and I do think Baker is going to get him at least 6 to 8 touchdowns. He only ever gets 4 touchdowns. If he gets me 6 to 7, I'll be very happy. And then T. Higgins, listen, it's in the realm of possibility that he beats Jamar Chase in fantasy points. I know, it sounds crazy, but for certain stretches last year, he was outpacing Jamar Chase. If you remember, towards the end of last year, Jamar Chase started to slow down a little bit, and that's when T. Higgins took off. So we'll see. They're a good 1-2 punch, and I believe I got a 2-round discount. I'm sorry, a 3-round discount. I got him in the 4th round. Jamar Chase went round 1, so that's what I was doing there. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, Tom is the first one to snipe a running back from me. He went Dylan real early, I think 5th round. I don't blame him for doing it. I think it's a quote-unquote reach, but he wanted his guy. But I was going to reach for him, so I can't fault him for it. I was going to load up on mid-tier running backs, guys like A.J. Dillon. At one point, I had 3 running backs in my queue, and I was 3 picks from my turn, and all 3 running backs got picked. I'm trying to remember some of the names. I think it was like Rashad Penny. It was Chase Edmonds. I think those 2 players went to the Benoins. I mean, I just got sniped left and right, and you guys did a good job staying disciplined and not reaching for, you know, like I said, tight ends and quarterbacks, and just didn't work out. So I'm putting a lot of faith in the Damians, Damian Harris, Damian Pierce, and I got a lot of lottery tickets on my bench with Melvin Gordon. If anything happens to Javonte, Melvin Gordon's a starter. Alexander Mattison, if anything happens to Dalvin Cook, or even better, if Madison gets traded, I have probably a starter at that point. If a team is trading for him, they're going to want to use him right away. I have Dotson as my 5th wide receiver, rookie sensation for the Commanders. We'll see what he does. And then Zamir White as my last player. Again, another backup running back who, if Josh Jacobs goes down or they lose faith in him, since they did not re-sign him to a 5th-year option, they could just be done with Josh Jacobs if he struggles, and I do have the backup in Zamir White. So it's a zero RB build. Let's see if I can manage it. Cole Kmet and Njoku as my tight ends. Again, I grabbed 2 tight ends because I'm just not sure which one is going to be better. I think they're both PPR starters, and I'll just play the matchups at that point. But again, I'm not going to grade myself. I know I'll be very active with trades and free agency. I think I can fix my running back woes, but we shall see. It was a fun time going zero RB.
All right, thank you for joining in of part 1 of 2 of the Marvel Fantasy Football Draft Grades. Hope you enjoyed episode 1, and be on the lookout for episode 2, most likely on Friday afternoon. We'll catch you guys later.